Hi everybody, and well, as many of you may know, we've been spending time looking at the book of Ephesians, and over a number of weeks we've been unpacking the many delights that this book has to offer. It's a verse that could so easily be skimmed over and missed. But this verse that we're going to look at today, it's a verse that God has really directed me to, and he's put it on my heart. And little by little, he began to reveal a hidden meaning to it. And I hope you'll agree with some of the things that I'm going to tell you today. It's a verse that stood out because it's connected with my career as a nurse. And I love the mention of body parts and movement and ligaments. It conjured up this wonderful image of the skeleton and the song that kids sing at school. The hip bone's connected to the thigh bone. The thigh bone's connected to the knee bone. And so on. But we're not going to stand up and sing that today. But as we shall find out, this verse is packed with so much more than that. I believe that God is going to speak in a powerful way today, and he may speak directly to your hearts and your minds, or he may call you to take action and to do something in some way or another. But it's very exciting anyway. Let us pray. God, thank you so much for bringing us here today. We want to leave here different people. We want to take something away of you. We want our hearts and our minds to be changed. We want to be able to move forward, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would impact people in a very powerful way as we listen to what you've got to say today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. People are here for a reason, and I thank you for that. Amen. Recently, I came across a story which helps to illustrate the message today. A number of years ago, just off the Canadian coast, a small fishing boat left the harbour, as it did every single day, to gather fish for the local town and its neighbouring villages. It had a crew of seven, and all were related. Sons, fathers, uncles, brothers. 30 miles offshore and well into the afternoon, the skies grew dark and daylight began to vanish. Heavy clouds formed over the boat and visibility became poor. Storms were a frequent occurrence in these parts, so the men gave it little thought. Not until, that is, heavy, persisting rain and strong clouds began beating against the boat, tossing it back and forth. The captain decided to head back to shore. But the waves were so strong and so powerful that the 70-foot boat really began to struggle to stay afloat. Finally, the boat had taken on so much water that it began to capsize. And it happened so quickly that the men were thrust overboard into the freezing, icy water and into the pitch black. The men, who were initially separated, called out to one another in loud voices, "Jack! Harry! Pete! Where are you?" They wanted their voices to be heard above the crashing waves, and as each man listened, they swam towards the direction of the voices, and they found each other. All night long, they stayed linked, arm by arm, together, as the sea tried to tear them apart. They sang songs to keep their spirits high and help them keep account of the man next to them. It was a day and a half later, as the rains continued and the winds persisted, that they were spotted by a rescue helicopter. And the only reason that these men were spotted was because they were linked together, forming a visible red line. Now you might well ask, you know, why is the red line so significant? Well, every man that day was wearing a red life jacket. This story illustrates the joining together of people. In this case, fishermen, simple fishermen who had linked their arms together to remain connected during this story time. And it's particularly relevant for our verse today. The verse that I would like to focus on this morning is taken from chapter 4, verse 16 of Ephesians. It reads, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There are five things here that I believe the writer of Ephesians, Paul, wants us to see. So we're going to have a look at these individually. The first part, the whole body joined and held together. I believe that when God talks of the whole body, he's referring to us, the congregation, the body of the church, Christians all over the world. Being part of this body creates a sense of belonging, a commonality with others, and being part of something much bigger. I'd like you to imagine just for 1 minute the bloodstream, as a nurse of course I have to throw that in, and just how vast it is, how the veins and the arteries and the capillaries are all interconnected, each relying on the other to complete its cycle and to do the job it was intended to do, which might be going to the brain, the heart, the lungs, or even your big toe. But most importantly, this huge network of veins and arteries is supported within a structure. And this structure is called the human body. And we, like this structure, have our own support networks that keep us joined and held together. I found my cell group a huge support network, where every week I can meet with these people, form relationships, friendships, talk openly, and share pretty much anything that I have a mind to. Of course, it would be virtually impossible for us to get to know each person in the church individually. So by having these cell groups, it means that we can get to know a small group of people really, really well. We can support one another through prayer, either on a one-to-one basis or in a group, simply by asking, "Is there anything I can pray for you for? Is there anything, you know, that you want me to bring to God in prayer?" There's a sense in the church that people genuinely care and want the very best for each other. And this is ultimately how the body remains strong and connected. Just last summer, I was preparing for the submission of my master's dissertation. And I remember the endless nights of study, the hundreds of articles I had to trawl through, and the sacrifices I had to make just to get the task done. There were times when I really doubted my own capabilities, and I actually wondered if my work was good enough. But I found my support through my lovely cell group, who had really kept me going throughout. I'll be honest with you, there were times when it was just so impossible to get to cell group, and weeks would go by. I'd feel torn between meeting with God and my friends or staying home to study, but studying won every time. My time was so precious that every moment really did count. And all the while I knew people were praying for me. I'd get phone calls and cards just at the right time to encourage me and spur me on. I'd get invites for dinner, which I thought was terrific, and it was a great excuse to get me out of my 10 by 10 room. Each action always seemed so perfect. The funny thing was, looking back, it was almost as if my entire cell group was writing the dissertation with me. And now we're really glad and relieved that it's all over. I find the Bible is rich with verses reminding us that we're joined and connected to and with others. In John 15, it speaks of the vine and the branches and how, if we remain in God, he will remain in us and we will bear much fruit. In the same way, verse 4 tells us that no branch can bear fruit by itself. Here, God is reaffirming and telling us that we cannot do things alone, that we need to work with others in order to flourish and remain connected to the body. The next bit of the verse says that we are held by every supporting ligament. I remember before I started nursing, I worked in a biscuit factory for 2 years up in Carlisle, and I was put to work on a conveyor belt with 15 other women. We each had 2 or 3 biscuits held in containers, literally just in front of us, at chest level, but in my case it was a bit higher. And we had to put these biscuits in plastic trays as the conveyor belt moved along. Timing and precision, as you can imagine, had to be impeccable. If you got it right, you had a great day and everybody was happy. If you got it wrong, there were biscuits and trays everywhere, and the charge hand would be shouting, "Who did that? Who's stupid? I'm going to dock your pay." But working with these women, it meant that you had to get along. You had to respect each other, regardless of backgrounds or class, because in this place, everybody was equal and everybody was the same. We had to encourage one another, laugh with one another, look out for one another, and not give cause for anyone to dislike you. Because you were with these girls 8 hours a day, 6 days a week, and not getting along would have made it really, really difficult. I believe that being supported is a two-way process, and it's all about giving and receiving, being honest with each other, admitting when you're wrong. There's no shame in this, for this can be an incredibly hard thing to do. And we also need to accept people for who and what they are. Accepting people's diversity, their likes, their dislikes, their hairstyles, their clothes sense, and of course those irritating niggly bits. It's like a person in my household who is reported to like carrots, but they will only eat them if they're cut into long sticks and not round slices, or pasta if it's served as spirals and not bows or shells. A carrot is a carrot, and pasta is pasta, wouldn't you agree? But these strange, quirky ways often matter to people. Each of us is different, and our individuality makes us unique. It's these differences that are invaluable for helping to strengthen the ligaments, which are us, and that which we're talking of today. These differences help to encourage, to build up, to increase growth, and provide the church with stability
So they really are a good thing and a very positive thing. The next part of the verse talks of growth, the growth of the body. Over the years, I've come to realize that growth isn't something that remains static, but rather it occurs gradually, like the growth of a child into adolescence. According to the book of Colossians, God wants and desires each one of us to grow. It says, under Christ's control, the whole body is nourished and held together by its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God wants it to grow. The important bit there, it grows as God wants it to grow. Because God realizes that we are all unique, and our talents, our skills, and our abilities vary from person to person. And yet God has still something for each one of us to do. Isn't that great? But part of the growing means that sometimes we have to step outside of our comfort zone, and we have to be willing to let God work within us. 2 months ago, I was asked to prepare a 10-minute talk for cell group. The morning it was due, I still had nothing on paper. So at work, I sat at my computer looking for inspiration, and I prayed. All of a sudden, pictures of waterfalls, pools of water, and lots of water in every different shape and form came to mind. It started flooding into me. So I asked God for more direction and more clarity. Before I knew it, I had lots of pictures of water, and all were representing a different state of mind. For example, were people in my group feeling a bit restricted with the way their life was going? Did they find themselves in a little teeny tank like a goldfish? Or were they really walking daily with God? Were they moving along the beach and actually, you know, taking things in their stride? Did they feel that they had a good relationship with him? Or were they feeling a bit lost at sea? This simple idea continued well over an hour. It took over the whole evening because it became apparent that everybody needed prayer, addressing where each was at with their walk with God. God had used me in this instance to bless and reach out to others. People felt so encouraged that they took all their pictures home. But I believe that God so desires us to experience and try out new things, and that he's just waiting to be asked. At any time, all of us can ask God for small things, medium things, or gigantic things. But rest assured, he will only give you what he feels you're ready to deal with. I believe if you allow God to work within you and to just come into your hearts, then he will do the rest. He wants to do this for you. The next part of the verse reads, and builds itself up in love. I remember a time when I decided to go on holiday with a good school friend. Her name was Sally. I thought I knew Sally fairly well. We'd lived in the same street for 20 years. We'd gone to the same primary and secondary schools, and we even shared the same surnames. We'd both prepared for this holiday. We hadn't been away all year. We really looked forward to it. But as soon as our plane landed in Spain, disaster struck. The hotel was really somebody's house that has been converted in the summer months for unsuspecting tourists. And it came with a resident cockerel that shocked our bodies into action every morning at 6 a.m. And it wasn't long before Sally developed a whole encyclopedia of ailments, from toothache, food poisoning, mouth ulcers, sunstroke, earache, and piles. And I got the blame because I was the nurse and I brought nothing with me with which to treat her. For 2 years, Sally didn't speak to me. She'd held me personally responsible for a truly miserable holiday. And the fact that her so-called friend hadn't shown her any sympathy, it was all too much for her to bear. It was only after an incidental meeting that our indifferences were put aside and our friendship was reconciled. But can you see how such a small thing can turn into a huge mountain? I believe that God's love is nothing like we can ever imagine nor begin to fathom, although we can experience it for ourselves in our daily lives. God wants our love to touch and impact the lives of other Christians, to help build them up with kind words, not snide comments or gossip. He wants us to forgive the wrongs that people have done to us, to work hard at relationships, and not to be jealous of what others may or may not have, or be envious of their achievements. God, at all time, wants us to be looking out for others, helping, assisting, and encouraging others. And by doing this, love will spill out onto other members in the church. Finally, and how exciting it is, we arrive at the last part of the verse. As each part does its work. Over the years, I've come to realize that each member of the body is so invaluable and so essential, regardless of their abilities and capabilities. God has given each of us, and quite deliberately, different talents and different spiritual gifts, although it's entirely up to us whether or not we choose to exercise them. I myself have been blessed with the gift of prophecy, and God gives me the most amazing pictures. Some are just like still photos, others are more panoramic, and they come with characters, movement and talking, and I can actually smell and taste and hear and feel my surroundings. I get excited when I'm with God in this way, and his messages are always so powerful. I find myself writing cards for people, telling them about the pictures that God has given me for them, and both of us are encouraged, particularly myself, because I've actually acted out and followed through with something that God has shown me. I feel happy that I've done what God asked me to do, and I didn't pass up the opportunity. Some opportunities never repeat themselves, and the moment is lost forever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17, it says this. If the whole body were just an eye, how could it hear? And if it were only an ear, how could it smell? As it is, God put every different part in the body just as he wanted it to be. There would not be a body if it were only one part. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. God has purposely made us different. He doesn't want millions of Raywins or Judys or Bobs. as nice as the thought may be, for this would be far too boring. Instead, God has orchestrated that we would be made in his own image, but that we look, think, sound, and act differently, so that the body can be complemented and strengthened by each of its members. In the spiritual realm, it may not be immediately apparent to us that we have any particular gifting, but this is something that people can help you pray for, especially if it's a gift that you would like to grow into or develop. It's God's intention that each member of the body performs whatever he or she has the ability to perform. And so, if it is serving, we should serve. If it's speaking publicly, then we should start doing this on a regular basis. If it's working with children, then we should go and speak to Joe after the service. But standing on the sidelines is not an option. It's really great to see everybody and all the things that people do in the church. But I want to encourage you all today to step out further. Why not step out and try something new today, like they say on this Sainsbury's advert? You really need to listen to what God may have been saying and to truly step out, because he's got so much more for you to offer. I think God has been really great this morning, and what a fantastic little journey he's taken us on. But that journey is never over. I believe today that God has spoken of the importance of our cell groups and the importance of building, praying, supporting, loving, respecting, and tolerating one and each other. He's directed our thoughts repeatedly to the body and how we ought to be joined and connected in order to function properly. But as I say, God has so much more that he wants you to do. He wants you to literally just to step out of your comfort zone and to move forward, to take those steps. He wants you to be stirred into action. There's more to be done in the body, and he wants your help. This might require, however, that you ask yourself and God certain questions. And you might have to seek God in prayer so that you can find the answers. Perhaps you need to start by saying, God, what is it that you've called me to do? Or how can I best serve you or others? It could be that you desire a heart for people, in which case you might want to say, Lord, give me a heart for Raywin or Kelly, that I might genuinely care about their life and their needs and be effective in praying for them. But if it's spiritual gifts that you seek, you might want to pray, God, help me to identify any gifts that you have given me that are not apparent, that I can use those gifts to glorify you. Or, God, help me to further develop a gift of prophecy, speaking in tongues, or the gift of discernment, again, that I may glorify you. So thank you for listening.
And thank you, Elaine. That was lovely, what Elaine had to share. Remember the first time I heard Elaine's public speaking was in Alpha, and such a fantastic story, and communicated so well. So we've been thoroughly, thoroughly blessed this morning. I wonder whether we could do what Elaine's been talking about, just have a little practice this morning. musicians, would you mind?